This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. It's 7:06 a.m. on Friday, the 26th of April. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning. Now, in half an hour, we're going to discuss how the ongoing general elections in India could impact the nation's economic outlook. But as always, let's recap how global markets closed overnight.
Oh, what a wild ride. Despite rather good tech numbers, which we'll discuss in a few minutes, the Dow was down 1%, S&P 500 down by 0.5%, Nasdaq down by 0.6%. Meanwhile, here in Asia, it was a bit more mixed. Nikkei was down 2.2%, Hang Seng was up 0.5%, the Shanghai Composite was up by 0.3%, Singapore Straits Times down by 0.2%, while our very own FBM KLCI was down by 0.1%.
All right, for analysis on what's moving international markets, we speak to Mish Schneider, Chief Strategist at MarketGauge.com. Mish, good morning. Lots to talk about today. Let's start off with maybe looking at earnings. Four out of the Magnificent Seven tech stocks have reported quarterly earnings. Overnight, we saw Alphabet as well as Microsoft. How much of a divergence are we seeing in terms of performance? And what do you think this tells us about the appetite for AI-driven growth?
Well, as you know, we had a separation where Tesla came in with terrible earnings and rallied, and Meta came in with great earnings and fell. And then to add to the drama, we had the Microsoft and Google earnings. Google actually, after hours, based on great earnings, corporate buybacks, way more advertising sales on their YouTube channel than anticipated, gapped up to new highs. This is after hours, of course. And Microsoft also did better than what was expected, and it rallied from where it closed, but it still is in its range, so to speak, in that it really hasn't been able to clear over recent highs at 430. So what does that tell us? So much is going to depend on how interest rates, inflation affect the bottom line costs, even for AI, because we know valuations got very lofty. And so if you look at a company like Meta, Zuckerberg was talking about the fact that they were going to need to spend a lot more money on research in order to stay competitive. If you look at Tesla, they're talking about not necessarily AI, but in their software and robo-taxis, that they have to lower the cost to consumer. And with Google and Microsoft, I don't think we really know how the consumer is going to be impacted. But clearly, at this point, and this may not necessarily sustain, AI really has driven, particularly with Microsoft, one of the reasons why they've grown so much. So my wrapping up on this is essentially that valuations can get really nuts based on sort of a fear of missing out on, obviously, what's the future? AI. No one's going to dispute that. The question is how much do these companies have to pay in order to continue to really stay ahead of the curve? And what is going to be the bottom line cost to any consumer that's involved? And that might affect the bottom line to a point where we get a better sense of fair valuation down the road, maybe next earnings season, again, because of these factors that we have outside of the realm, mainly interest rates and inflation.
Mish, what does history tell us in terms of how patient investors will be to wait for AI to be monetized? Do we use the dot-com bubble as an example?
Well, there's definitely similarities to the dot-com bubble in that, for those who may be too young to remember.
Oh, I definitely remember that.
Well, you put dot-com behind a company's name and it immediately went crazy. And some of these companies weren't worth very much. In fact, they had negative balance sheets. And it was also at a very different time. Now with AI, I think you'll have some shakeout. But that's why we're looking at the Magnificent Seven, if you will, or even if you want to bring it down to the Fantastic Four. NVIDIA, of course, has yet to report. And where are they going to go? And I think that's exactly the question is, people are using AI, and we know AI is going to drive everything from music to medicine to how we do work to our businesses, how we conduct, in terms of our searches for things. But really, how far can it go from an expense and evaluation point that justifies? And I think if we look at EV as a great example of that, even better than .com, everybody's talking EVs, right? EV is the future. Again, no doubt. But what we've seen is that with competition and certain infrastructure problems and really basically somewhat of a disappointment because they haven't been able to really sell in the way that they thought they could because people couldn't drive them very far without looking for a station to fill, to, you know, recharge, et cetera. Those prices have come way down, even though we all know EV is the future. And it could be the same thing with AI. Mm. So as an investor, I don't know if I would necessarily be chasing at this point. We were kind of hoping really that Microsoft and Google wouldn't come in as explosive. And of course, anything could happen tomorrow. But right now, what that might do is help NVIDIA and some of the other companies. But we'll see if it can sustain, actually. And I think eventually they'll find a range.
Let's also take a look at the economic data that came out this evening. We see the latest U.S. GDP print come in lower than expected at 1.6%, while the core inflation number was also hotter than forecasted. How do you think this is going to factor into the Fed's calculation on when to cut interest rates?
Well, this really presents as probably the most difficult monetary policy to enact, and that's stagflation. So this is the classic definition of stagflation, when you have economic growth slowing or stagnating, and yet inflation continues to carry on. And in the past, what has happened, if you go back to the last time we had this situation, which really, and now I know you're not going to tell me you were around then, 1979, 1980, this is what happened, and how they were able to deal with it was they actually had to allow the economy to go into a recession to bring down inflation. So if we take that to what's applicable today, some things are very different. We have a much higher debt. We have much more government spending. We have a shortage of raw materials. We have a geopolitical situation in certain pockets around the world, you know, not the least which, of course, is what's going on in the Middle East, Russia, Ukraine, anything can erupt anywhere else at any time, it seems. So what the Fed is going to be faced with here is door number one, spike in the idea of recession and raise the rates to fight inflation, or keep the status quo, let inflation get a little hotter and thinking it's transitory, but yet not necessarily ruin the chance of a soft landing that they were so hoping for. So my feeling is at this point, they won't know what to do and they'll just stay the course.
Mm. Okay. Can we turn our attention to Japan? And Mish, I'm old enough to remember the 1970s and 1980s. I also remember when the Nikkei was above 30,000 in the 1980s. But looking at the yen, it has depreciated beyond 155 to the dollar for the first time in three decades. So what does this mean for the Bank of Japan? Will they actually intervene?
Well, you know, the Bank of Japan historically has not done a lot of intervention, interestingly. And even though they recently intervened with a slight hike, I mean, really when going from negative to 0.1% is not necessarily too dramatic, this drop in the yen has been, you know, essentially really a troublesome thing for Japan. So the anticipation is that they may be close to intervening. But from what I read, they may want to see the yen go even lower to the dollar, more like 157 to 160 before they actually do something. And if they do something, they may do it more patiently, but more significantly. And then here's the most interesting thing about Bank of Japan relative to the U.S. is they will be watching. They may not do anything and watch very carefully what happens at our own next Fed meeting. Because if the Fed intimates at all that there could be cuts coming, which of course would then affect the U.S. dollar, bringing that down, then in essence that would help bolster the yen, and they wouldn't necessarily have to do anything. Mm. So I think this patient stance that they have will persist at least for another week or two until they have more information.
Mish, thanks so much for speaking with us. That was Mish Schneider, Chief Strategist at MarketGauge.com, giving us her take on some of the trends that she sees moving markets in the days and weeks ahead, helping us unpack some of the factors that are causing markets to swing up and down, how they're reacting to the different themes in play, particularly AI. And with that, let's turn our attention to those earnings. Maybe we can go through a little bit of the details. Let's start with Alphabet. As Mish said, the shares did soar and extended trading after they issued first quarter results that topped analyst estimates, thanks to growth in cloud computing, and also announced its first dividend. So the shares rose and pushed market capitalization value to above $2 trillion, joining peers like Microsoft, Apple, and Nvidia. Revenue rose by 15% on year to $67.6 billion. This is the fastest growth rate since early 2022, and it exceeded Wall Street's estimate of $66 billion.
Okay, so the good news, their advertising business looks set to recover. Google's total ad sales rose 13% year-on-year to $61.7 billion. Cloud, which is of course another important segment, that revenue rose by 28% to $9.6 billion thanks to investments in developing AI. So it's all about AI, it's all about cloud. Those are the magic words. CapEx did rise. It rose more than expected to $12 billion this quarter, but operating margins still remain very healthy at 32% from 25% a year ago. I think that's also thanks to all the cost cutting they did earlier in the year. If we look at the street, definitely still a darling, 55 buys, 10 holds, no sells. Consensus target price for this stock, $169.35. Last time it was actually down during regular market hours, but I think it was up after market hours, to $156, down $3.13. The other reason to look at the stock is that they have announced the first ever share buyback. So double whammy.
Dividends and buybacks. Wow, well done, Alphabet investors. Maybe in the little bit of time that we have, let's take a look at Microsoft as well, because they too had pretty good earnings. They beat expectations on the top and bottom lines thanks to corporate demand for its cloud and artificial intelligence offerings. Revenue rose by 17% to $61.9 billion, while profit was $2.94 per share.
Oh my goodness, I sound like a broken record, because once again, the segment that contributed to earnings is cloud. Azure is their name for their cloud business. Biggest revenue driver, sales rose by around 21% to $26.7 billion, also beating estimates. And at the same time, they're also spending some money in AI. And they're trying to, I think, combine cloud and AI. I'm thinking, who isn't, right? Everybody who isn't doing it, you're probably seeing it in your share price going down. Now, software, also productivity and business processing units containing the Office productivity software, LinkedIn, generated more than $19.6 billion in revenue, up by about 12%. Windows revenue rose 11% in the quarter. Even Xbox jumped 62% thanks to their acquisition of Activision Blizzard. Remember, $69 billion they spent on that. So outlook, revenue for the current quarter to be $64 billion, slightly below than I think what the street was expecting, was at 64.5. But maybe they're guiding lower so that they can, you know, kind of surprise you on the upside.
Right.
62 buys, 5 holds, no sells. Consensus target price for what is the world's most valuable company, $472.57. Last done price, $399.04, down $10.
All right, 7:19 in the morning. We're going to head into some messages, but we'll come back to look at more of the top stories in the newspapers and portals. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.